Get ready. It's time for
Operation Late Night Excitement.
Top rated in late night radio.
The awesomest night of all time.
After dark.
It's late night with Hancock and Kelly.
You deserve a fun night.
On King of OX.
Hey now, hey. Hancock and Kelly on a Monday evening.
Late night.
Thanks for sticking around with us. Hey, if you want to hop into the conversation, I know it's been riveting.
Yeah, it would be 436-7900.
And if you still use an 800 number.
And who among us does not? Yeah. 1-800-925-1120.
I think the only 800 numbers I call anymore is like if I have to call an airline or something. Right? Yeah, I mean, yeah. Who calls 800 numbers anymore?
Knowing you as I do, Kelly. Have you ever dialed a 900 number?
No, I haven't.
Okay, all right.
No, those things, though, they get expensive on you.
Do they? Now?
Like, I've heard stories of back in the day, you know, when people would dial those numbers.
Yeah. And
next thing you know, your parents are getting $100 bills, and it's not good.
It's not good.
No, I had some college buddies that got caught.
Yeah, don't do that.
But I mean, think about it. I know KMOX's 800 number by heart, but I don't think I've ever dialed it.
Oh, I was a caller back in the day.
What, John from Lakewood?
John from Creve Coeur at the time. Yeah.
What would you call him, the Sports Open Line?
I would. That's exactly what I would call it.
Would it be mainly to support an argument, make your own?
Well,
or
I'd have some thought-provoking questions for the host.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Do you remember who you used to call into?
Jack Buck.
See, I don't remember Mr. Buck. I remember Mr. Buck doing the radio for the Cardinal games, but I don't ever remember him.
Oh, yeah, no, he would do sports. He had a show on Sunday nights with Charlie Spoonhour when Charlie Spoonhour was the coach of the Billikens, and it was a phenomenal show. And I would call in and ask some thought-provoking questions. Or Randy Carricker back in the day did a lot of Sports Open Line. Mike Claiborne was here years ago. Doing Sports Open Line.
Is Charlie Spoonhour still alive?
No, he passed away.
He passed away as well?
Yeah.
Huh. I was driving in St. Louis the other day from coming in from out of town. I was in Mexico with my family.
Right.
We went on a big family trip.
Mexico,
the country.
Missouri.
Yeah, the country of Mexico. Had to go with my passport. I got to get that renewed.
Yeah.
And that's not an easy process.
Yeah.
You have a passport?
I do.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Where have you taken it?
It's in my drawer.
Yeah. Where have you been?
Nowhere.
Why do you have a passport?
Well, because you got to have a passport. I mean, you never know.
You have a passport. How long ago did you get a passport?
I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago.
Were you intending to go on a full overseas trip?
Well, you're thinking about it, you know.
Yeah.
You might hop in the plane and fly over to England. And
unlike me, if I renew my passport, I have to mail back. I think you have to mail back your old passport.
Yeah.
To show them, hey, here I am. Here's everywhere I went. You would be sending yours back, and there'd be no stamps in it?
No stamps, but it's one of my better pictures.
Really?
And so,
do you have hair?
No, but I had a nice, smile going on, I had my leather coat on in the picture, so it was one of my better pictures. I like my passport.
My passport photo is horrible.
Yeah, my driver's license.
My driver's license photo is awesome. I have a great. I just got my driver's license photo. I'm going to show it to you.
I can't wait to see it.
It's
riveting for those of you on television.
Yeah,
radio. I'll explain it to you.
Look, it's a good picture of me.
All right. Yeah, it looks like it needs to have like 9 numbers under it.
Well, I don't look like I'm a criminal. Like in some of those driver's license photos. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or when you look like you got 6 shins. I don't have that going on either.
I got that going on.
Is that what's happening in your driver's license photo?
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good. Yeah.
Anyway, I'm driving in on Highway 70.
Yeah.
And I'd been out of town. Mm-hmm. And it just occurred to me I'd been out of the country. I've been into a third world country, I would argue.
Mexico.
And their highways are better than Highway 70 in St. Louis.
Huh.
And I felt safer on their highways than I feel on Highway 70 in St. Louis.
Really?
I
mean, what was it?
It's not well lit.
Yeah.
There's cars just broken down on the sides of the road.
Yeah.
There's trash everywhere. Trash. Like, I'm talking about Highway 70. I'm not talking about Mexico. There's trash everywhere. And I got caught up in one of these deals where these motorcycles, these guys who go out in motorcycles in groups of like 30 motorcycles and they're popping wheelies and acting a fool on the highway. And then they're like bees buzzing around your car while you're driving it. Have you had this experience?
No.
Oh, it'll scare the snot out of you.
Huh.
It is not cool. These people are lowlifes who do this. And they'd
not be perfectly lovely.
No, they're out on these motorcycles and they're terrorizing people on, they're popping wheelies. So now you're, the guy next to you is doing a wheelie at 50 miles an hour and you're looking and you're scared and there's, feels like there's hundreds of them, but there's 20 or 30 of these guys around you on their motorcycles doing this stuff.
Yeah.
It's not cool.
Well, it's like Speed Racer.
The cartoon?
Yes. I mean, there he was in the Mach 5, you know, Jim in the back there. And
Jim?
Yeah, the little monkey. And he's, you know, he's driving down the road there.
So I know the reference of Speed Racer. I don't know the Speed Racer is.
You don't know Speed Racer.
I mean, I know the reference. I know it's about a guy in a car and he'd go real fast. It was Speed a cartoon. Racer. Yeah, but no, I don't know Speed Racer. Huh. Go Speed Racer.
Yes. So, he's a demon on wheels.
So what does he do? Was he like, did he have like superpowers or what did he do?
No, he was a great race car driver and he had Jim in the back and then the motorcycle guys and the evil people would, you know, and he always won.
Oh, so the motorcycle guys were the evil guys here.
Yeah.
Well, I just called them lowlifes myself.
Well, but they're not lowlifes.
No,
just...
but these guys who go in these packs, I'm not even talking about Harley riders in packs. I'm talking about these are like sport bikes these guys go out in and they're doing papa wheelies. And they're standing up on their motorcycle going 50 miles an hour next to you on the highway. You haven't had this.
I think I ate at that restaurant.
What? Papa Wheelies?
great steaks out there.
Hey, did you ever go to that place up on, what is it, Natural Bridge or St. Charles Rock Road, the burger joint that everybody liked? Not Winstead's, but...
No, that's in Kansas City.
Yeah, but it's that style of burger.
No.
What is the name of that
no,
place?
No, I've been to the hot dog place, though.
Steve's Hot Dogs?
No, wherever it is up there, North County.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know the hot dog place, but you don't know the burger place I'm talking about where the guys would bring they still bring the old cars to it? And
no.
They have the hop where the girls come out and take your order?
In St. Louis.
Yes. I can't believe I don't remember what they... 314-436-7900. 1-800-925-1120.
So, no, I have no idea. But Wolfie's, that's what I'm thinking
Wolfie's,
about.
Now, Wolfie's is the hot dog place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Though this place would be similar, but it's a burger joint. Huh. And it's, my mom and dad used to go there back
I remember
in the
that
day.
One place I used to love to go. They've gone out of business. What was it called? Steak and Shake.
Yeah. Now, there are some Steak and Shakes that are
apparently
still open.
There are, yes.
Yeah, the one on Hampton Avenue there between Highway 40 and 44 is still open.
Yeah.
Mike?
Yeah, they got that one, and then the one in Webster Groves on Watson. Yeah.
And that's it?
Yeah, that one. So those two, I think, are the ones that are still there. And that really sucks. I used to go to the one in Maplewood all the time. That was like my Steak and Shake.
Well, yeah.
I knew all the waitresses by name. In fact, I'm best friends with I'm best friends with the kid of one of the waitresses who was my waitress for years at the Maplewood Steak and Shake.
Oh, yeah. You guys remember the pepper water that they'd have at Steak and Shake? It had the little peppers in it.
Yeah.
They're like yellow green pepperoncinis, and then you'd use it as like pepper.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course.
What was your Steak and Shake order?
Bacon double cheeseburger with pickles, lettuce, mustard, and onions, an order of French fries, and a Diet Coke.
Wow, the fact that you were able to that you knew that, like I know the prayers they used to teach me back in school.
And then you got to get the chili, you know. The Steak and Shake chili, there was something about that, you know, and they got the chili three ways, you know, so that which means you got the beans over here, and you got the meat over there, and then you got the noodles in there, and then a little cheese over there.
Well, that's chili mac.
Whatever it was, they had noodles. The chili three ways there at the Steak and Shake, and it was heaven. Absolute heaven. And you get the little bowl of that thing. There's nothing like eating chili out of a styrofoam bowl that makes you feel like an American. I mean, there is nothing like it. It's like, you know, you can't get that in Russia. You can't get that in China. You got a styrofoam bowl full of chili?
If I were to have said to you, one of these two St. Louis restaurants is not going to survive, White Castle's or Steak and Shake. Can you believe it was Steak and Shake that didn't make it?
Well, they screwed up their advertising, is what they did. they had all of these offers, and the franchisees couldn't sustain the offers that corporate was making for customers. And people were coming in there for the 2-for-1 and whatever. And the franchisees are like,
Really?
Yeah. And
because they had the take-home-a-sack, right?
They were spending so much money on advertising, like disproportionate to any other business on the planet.
Uh-huh.
They were just so poorly managed. And then, poof, there they go. And it was a great product. The food product, they got the little burger there. They smash that sucker up until, you know, there's hardly anything there, but it's still tasty.
It has to have been the inspiration behind Danny Meyer's Shake Shack, right?
No question. Yeah. All right, well, we're way out of time here, but what a fantastic conversation this has been with Michael Kelly and John Hancock. It is Late Night with Hancock and Kelly. That's what it is.
There you go.
On the Voice of St. Louis, Camel X.
So have you noticed lately, Late Night with Hancock and Kelly, have you noticed lately that, like, when you're watching the football game, there's really no more beer advertisements?
Excellent point.
There's really no more car advertisements.
You're right, because they don't have cars.
No, everything that's being...
Because we can't get the little chips in the cars.
It comes down to two categories that's being advertised right now.
Yeah.
And NFL football is the premium advertising space.
Yeah.
The telephone companies.
Yeah.
So you have AT&T,
Verizon,
Sprint, and Verizon. And by the way, they all offer you the same thing. A free iPhone.
Right.
You know, a plan for you and your family and blah, blah, blah. Okay, so they're advertising the heck out of it.
Yeah.
And then the other people who are advertising the heck out of stuff are the insurance companies.
Huge insurance.
So, and there are plot lines in insurance ads these days. Of course, you got Flo.
Yeah.
You've got
the iguana.
You got the little lizards.
Yeah.
You've got Patrick Mahomes and
Jake from State Farm.
Jake from State Farm.
Who went to school in. St. Louis, by the way. He went to Webster University.
Who?
Jake from State Farm. The new Jake from State Farm.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, who would have known that?
Who would have known that?
The Webster grad would have known that.
I would not have known
that. Yeah, well, there you go.
We used that as a point on tours back in the day.
And by the way, insurance ads used to be insurance ads.
Yeah.
Bam! You have a wreck. Who's going to take care
of
you? Well, you got the good hands people out there going to take care of you. You got the your good neighbors.
Right.
State Farm
out
there.
So you're about to make my point, which is that I'm going to tell you that I think the funniest TV commercials right now are the ones where the guy is teaching the class about not becoming your parents.
Do you think that's funny?
Oh, I think it's hysterical. The one where he's in the airport and he's like, does everybody have their ticket? And everybody holds up their paper ticket because nobody uses paper tickets anymore. Hello, you're a parent. You're an old person. Or they're going to a sporting event, and they're walking in, and everybody's sitting there saying, so you guys thinking we're going to leave in the third quarter? What are you thinking, like 10 minutes into the third quarter? We get out here, and we go, blah, blah, blah. And the guy's like, we're not even in the game yet. You're starting to sound like your parents. Those ads are hysterical.
I don't think they're funny.
And here's the thing about it. Yeah. I, like, love watching them. I don't know who they were for. I don't know what insurance company they're selling for.
Well,
I don't understand how it's related to insurance.
You got the emu over here.
Who's he selling insurance for?
For the
emu you don't company. Know. Nobody knows. I mean, we're watching ads these days that are like they're mini soap operas. They've got plot lines.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're selling. Who the insurance company? It's not like any of them. I'm inspired to go, oh, I need to pick up the phone and call XYZ insurance company.
I don't think these "don't be like your parent" ads are very funny. If you,
they're hysterical.
I think they're poorly written.
They're hysterical.
I think they're not rooted in reality. I don't like them.
You know? Okay. Well, I just made the point. A paper ticket on an airplane.
Yeah.
Nobody uses a paper ticket on an airplane anymore.
You know why you have a paper ticket, Michael?
Why?
Because something goes wrong with the phone. You can't get your phone.
You're starting to sound like the insurance company people.
And you get the paper ticket. I'm going to tell you, as long as you got that paper ticket, you're getting on that plane.
Huh.
You know, if you're relying on the phone and the image on the phone, I mean, who knows what could go wrong? You got hackers out there. You got the internet goes down. And you can't get your picture up, and now all of a sudden you're stranded in Cleveland for 3 days because you don't have a paper ticket for the airplane.
Yeah.
This is why you have a
paper
ticket.
You don't get stranded in Cleveland, and the phones don't go down unless it's the apocalypse.
Well, exactly.
Exactly. And if it's the apocalypse, you're not getting on an airplane. And then, you know, the other thing that they
actually,
do in
that'd be a good place to be during the apocalypse, if you think about
it. I read this book back in the day. They were called the Left Behind books. Are you familiar with them?
Yeah. Tim, what's his name?
I forget what it is. Yeah, it's somewhat of a religious bent. I think it's they essentially take the Book of Revelations and try to turn it into a narrative-type story.
Yeah, because they believe eschatologically that the rapture is going to come before the end of the age. And
right.
Not all Christians believe that.
So I would read this book, and the reason I read it is it was an interesting concept where, you know, 1 second throughout the world, you know, 30% of the people just disappeared. The only thing that was left was their, like, clothes and their rings and their watches and their phones, and if they had a fake knee in them, that was there. But otherwise, their actual body just disappeared because what they were saying is the rapture happened and that it came back, and then the story goes on from there about what happens to the highways and the airlines and planes are crashing. And then it's this whole story about Revelations. But I got sucked into it because that's a cool concept. That just imagine all of a sudden, poof, I'm not here and you're here by yourself. And John Michael Lyons is, you know, here, but that's it. You know what I'm saying?
No.
You don't?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, that's the concept behind the book and the movie of Left Behind.
I'm still caught up on the fake knee.
If you have a fake knee in you and everything, all the metal and stuff stays. Yeah. So your fillings for your teeth are still there, but your teeth aren't there.
Yeah. What if you got like a implant?
That would be there.
Okay.
Anything foreign, not human, stays.
So everything else is gone.
No, the implant would be there if it's fake, if it's a part of the
body. Yeah, I mean it's not going with me.
But this is what I mean by acting like your parents.
I'm going to look like a hockey
player.
Because
you're like quizzing me on some ridiculous thing right now, and that's one of the plot lines in the ad where the guy walks up and he says, "So, how long do you think it will be until the A-Borg groups?" 2 hours and 37 minutes, sir, is what she says to him.
Yeah,
you know, and he keeps going back and checking, and then they're like, "Hey, don't be like your parents." But I don't have no idea who they're selling insurance for, like I have no idea who Jake is selling for.
State Farm.
Okay, and I have no idea who the lizard's selling for or Flo.
Geico.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And it's a gecko.
Of course.
Right.
Yeah. And not a lizard, it's a gecko, Michael.
Flo is Progressive, and I think the emu is Liberty Mutual.
Have you ever been inspired to go and purchase insurance?
Obviously, they're marketing to the younger generation.
I will tell you right now, those ads of the parent, I can't tell you who's the one doing those ads of don't be like your parents, but I can tell you that based on the people that I know and the people that I've seen that are, you know, a bit older, it is kind of funny because it's exaggerated stereotypes some of the things. And that's the point.
I still have no idea who they're selling insurance for.
Neither do I.
And I'm not inspired to go buy insurance, but I got to tell you right now, if they called me up and said, who's got the best commercials on TV right now? I'd say it's this insurance company that says,
but clearly
don't be like your parents
because you don't know the insurance company.
Exactly. This is my point.
Yeah.
I actually get a pretty good kick out of the emu ones. And I'm surprised to actually know who is selling that with the, don't be like your parents. It might be Progressive. I don't know. It could be. I like the Allstate guy. I think he's pretty good, but
yeah.
Who's the Allstate guy?
That's Allstate stands. Are you in good hands?
Oh, that's the guy with the deep voice.
Real deep voice.
Yeah, he was the president on 24.
Ah. Was Kiefer Sutherland?
No, yeah, well, he was the president.
Kiefer Sutherland.
No, Kiefer Sutherland was the agent. It's the guy on the commercial.
Kiefer Sutherland does play the president in some show.
Yes, he was the president in the other show. Not 24, but the other one.
Linus Secession or something like that. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Designated survivor.
I don't know that I've ever been more moved
by insurance ads.
By a radio program than I have been.
But have you ever been inspired by a commercial to buy insurance? I have been inspired to buy a beer.
No. No.
I've never been inspired to buy insurance. But if you think about every commercial you're watching these days, it's all insurance.
The only commercials that have ever worked for me were ones that showed pictures of food. And, I mean, here's this beautiful pizza. And I mean, it's bubbling in the cheese. And you got the pepperoni, right? I mean, you know, yeah. Has that worked? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's worked.
Hancock, Kelly, more after this. KMOX.
What? back to Cable X.
Hey, Hancock and Kelly.
Here we are, Hancock and Kelly.
I was going to tell you something.
Well, then say it. You can't remember what you're going to say.
Hold on a second. I have written it down here.
Well, Nancy and I were driving down the Pacific.
I know what it was.
Oh, okay.
So
yes.
Friday morning, we come in for our regular show.
Yeah.
And you and I were going to go play snooker together.
After the show on Friday.
And so you were dressed in what would have been a snooker uniform.
I was.
Which is tuxedo pants.
Yeah.
Tuxedo shirt.
No, well, a black shirt.
A black shirt.
It's got to be a black shirt.
And a like vest, I guess.
A waistcoat.
A waistcoat.
So you got your black bow tie
with
a black shirt and the black tuxedo pants and the...
Here's the question.
And the waistcoat.
That's a uniform now in that sport.
Oh,
that's what people wear.
If you're watching a snooker tournament,
why?
That's what they're wearing.
What's the purpose of wearing that uniform?
Because it's classy.
It's classy.
It exudes an elegance to it. And it's an elegant sport, snooker.
Okay. But that's the uniform. That's what they have to wear.
Yeah, it's what they wear.
To be able to play.
Yeah.
Well, who comes up with these kind of things for sport uniforms? So, think about baseball uniforms.
Right.
I love baseball uniforms.
Got the pants.
But they're made out of that weird material.
Yeah.
They're weird looking. Is that really the best type of clothing and outfit to be wearing to play that sport? Or could there be something? Well, we could do something because they have to be wearing the uniform like they do in baseball. Who decided that the baseball uniform was going to be a button-up shirt and those goofy spandexy pants?
Well, it wasn't goofy spandex. It was wool. They were wool back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And you had this big wool shirt and you buttoned it down. You had the wool pants and they pulled up to your knees. And then you had the socks that came up with the stirrups on them. Remember the stirrups?
Yeah, but why? And, why did the socks have stirrups?
That's the way they designed it.
And no, there had to have been a purpose. There was a purpose as to why you had to wear a waistcoat to go play pool. I mean, where do these uniforms come up with? And I think they're
smart
silly.
People. Very smart people.
Yeah.
Very smart people design these uniforms. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you look at your football uniform out there.
You could not have been comfortable bending over that pool table in tuxedo pants, a waistcoat, and a bow tie.
You know, that's an excellent point. It was not my best play.
It could not be comfortable. Yeah. I was looking at you, and there I am. I'm in jeans and a sweatshirt or a pullover.
Yeah.
I was relaxed. I had free motion.
I had free motion.
But I didn't feel goofy because I was dressed up like in a tuxedo pants.
There was that. Yes.
But why? I mean, why do you play a world-class sport and dressed in, or like what jockeys wear. Jockeys are, maybe that's practical that they wear those really tight little pants. And then,
it's all about the aerodynamics. You get on the horse and, you got your knee there and then you got your little whip in your hand and you got your helmet on with the little goggles because the horse in front of you is going to kick up dirt. So you got to have the little windshield wipers on your goggles.
They don't have windshield wipers on their goggles. They do not, John.
Have you?
Yes, I've been to far more horse racing tracks than you have.
But you've not looked at the goggles, I can
assure you. No, they have goggles. What they do, when the goggles get full of mud, they take them off and they throw them in the air, and there's another pair of goggles underneath there.
They got multiple goggles.
Oh, a horse jockey sometimes will have 20 goggles on.
20 goggles?
Yeah, and so, especially if it's a muddy, rainy day.
I did not know this.
Yeah, and so they're all on at one time. He's looking through it. Maybe an exaggeration.
Why wouldn't you just solve the goggle issue with windshield wipers?
Well, what happens when on your windshield in the wintertime when it does that streak thing?
You put the juice
and
on
you
it.
Can't
you hit the button
well, what
and
juice
the juice
are they
going
to use when they're doing a horse race?
I'm just saying. It's all about efficiency. Yeah. And if you got to be changing your goggles, you're losing.
No,
if they do it.
If you watch a horse race where there's mud being kicked up, or if you watch the guys who are always behind, they literally have 5 or 6 pairs of goggles on all at one time.
This is fascinating.
And they take them off one by one, and they just throw them in the air.
Huh? So you got a whole field littered with goggles.
Yes.
Out there.
Well, they come around later and scrape them and pick them up.
And do the horses step in the discarded goggles?
Well, I mean, if a horse could step on you and it would notice that it stepped on you.
Well,
I don't think they're worried about goggles.
But if you had the windshield wipers, I mean, just think about this practically. You wouldn't have
There's
to
nothing ex- practical
you would,
about
you
what
wouldn't
you're describing.
Have to expend the energy of discarding a goggle and then replacing another goggle.
Okay.
That's not easily
done. But explain
done.
To me this because
you're galloping along.
All right,
there.
I'm going to buy into your ridiculous theory here, but I'm going to now point out a flaw in your argument.
All right.
So when you get in your car in the wintertime,
yeah,
right,
yeah,
it's got salt, And all of a sudden, but it gets a little wet, and you turn on your windshield wipers, and all of a sudden it streaks that stuff across.
Well, the juice. You got to hit the juice.
I understand. How do you do that if you're wearing – so you think they ought to carry Windex with them when they're
surely they can invent a goggle that's got the juice in it, and you just squirt the juice, and you got the wipers, and poof, you're done.
Yeah.
We can send people to the moon, Michael.
Right.
Surely we can invent a goggle that's got a wiper, and then you don't have to throw goggles on it. I'm sure that's polluting the environment. And so, you know, your horse is out there. Your jockey is wearing a uniform designed aerodynamically to get them to the finish line.
No. Maybe. I mean, I don't know that I have as much problem with a jockey's uniform as I do a baseball uniform. I think a baseball uniform is cool looking. At the same time, I'm like, why do they wear these? Couldn't they be wearing a different kind of pant, like a yoga pant? And a different shirt. I mean, why do they have those big, you know, uniforms?
Yoga pants?
Or what do they call it, snooker outfit the other day, wearing tuxedo pants?
I can assure you, you don't want to see me in yoga pants.
I didn't really care to see you in a waistcoat.
Nor do you
want
to see Yadier Molina in yoga pants. The baseball uniform is a perfect.
Yeah.
It's America. I mean, you could go back, Jackie Robinson, Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, Mickey Mantle.
Okay.
They were wearing the uniform. They got the team logo emblazoned over their breast there. It's a beautiful thing, the uniform.
It, I guess it is, but I just don't get it. I especially don't get it in pool while you have to wear a uniform like that where you're dressed in a tuxedo.
Well, what you're doing is you're respecting the sport, and you're dressing to portray the elegance of what is an elegant game, snooker.
Like even golf. Golf used to have a uniform where they would wear ties and coats.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they're like, why are we wearing ties and coats? It's hard to swing while doing this. And they just started to get rid of it, and they did smarter stuff. Hmm. Well, how come pool hasn't figured this out?
Well, we're not talking pool. We're talking snooker. The pool players, they're all tatted up, and I mean, you know, blah, blah, blah. No, but snooker is an elegant game.
Really?
There's nothing like it. It's a beautiful game. Folks, if you're out there and you get on the, there's this thing called the YouTube. And if you get on this YouTube thing out there and look up snooker and watch the competition, very dramatic, extremely dramatic. Yeah.
Well, it is compelling. And I, you know, we may be a bit obsessed.
People are calling.
You and I both learned about snooker at the same time.
Yeah.
But you've taken it to a whole new level. I mean, you subscribe to the websites.
I'm serious.
You continue to follow it, etc.
Serious player.
Yeah, it's impressive stuff.
All right. Well,
that's John Hancock. I'm Michael Kelly. Wait, we got one more.
Hold on. Before we go, we did just get a call from a Mr. Joey G from NYC to kind of explain why you do wear the tuxedo and all that. He said it's to.
Why didn't he want to come on the radio?
He told me he didn't want to, but he did want to tell me that apparently it's to try and limit you from knocking the balls when you get up on the table.
That is true, because if you brush, you know, a snooker table is 12 feet long and 6 feet wide. And so a lot of times you've got to stretch your body over the table. So if you got the waistcoat on, it's going to restrict your shirt ruffles from brushing a ball on the table, which is a foul. Which costs you 4 points in a snooker competition. Joey from New York, thank you so much for that insight, on which I agree.
I wish you'd call back. I'd love to talk to you, Joey. 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. One more segment, Hancock Kelly. After this, Camo X. Oh, the Goo Goo Dolls. Hey, it's Hancock and Kelly. That's the Goo Goo Dolls in the background. Huh. Yeah, keep going. You don't know the song?
Well, yeah, no.
I give up forever.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good little tune.
That's a nice day. Yeah, I do like that song.
Hey, so we're going to take you all the way up to 10 o'clock. Then whatever comes on after
the best
us.
Of Glover.
Oh, the best of Dave Glover.
From today. Yes.
Oh, that'll
today.
Be nice. That'll be nice. And then Hancock and Kelly will be back with you on Friday.
We will.
8:30 to 11 for our normal gig.
We will.
And I'll be here Wednesday through and Thursday with Amy Marks, of course.
Oh, very nice.
Sitting in for Charlie Brennan.
Yeah.
Wonder if they'll let me do all his live reads.
No.
I think I can sell donuts. And,
you could sell donuts, yes.
What's the name of this?
You couldn't sell donuts as well as I could sell donuts, but I'm just saying.
What about going to Biggie's? I could talk about going to Biggie's.
You could.
Eating that stuff on garlic cheese bread.
Yeah.
I know about that stuff.
I can talk about that stuff, too. Yeah. If it's food, buddy, you got nothing on me.
Yeah, you can do it.
I can do it.
So the other night, I was sick. I was dealing with a head cold. and I went over to a Walgreens.
Yeah.
And you know, in a Walgreens, they place the actual pharmacy part in the far back corner.
Right.
So you've got to walk past all their stuff.
You go, yeah, because they want you to buy the stuff.
Yeah, so I'm walking straight on through. I go by the little photo department there where you drop off your film. Who does that anymore?
Somebody does.
And then on the way back, I make the right-hand turn, and on the way back to the drug portion of the drugstore.
What are you looking for, by the way?
Like Mucinex or something to help me with my
loosen
my
up
cold
all the stuff.
Yeah. And so there I am. I'm passing. So this is where all the coolers are, the glass coolers that would have the sodas and the ice cream and stuff like that.
Ice cream.
And so all of a sudden I noticed something different. Mm. I looked at it and I was like, well, those are TVs over the glass doors that you would open.
What?
TVs, like it was like a whole electronic thing. And it was saying, you know, this one's soda, this one's water. And then as you got closer to it.
And it's a TV, like a projected
image.
Yeah,
it's like it is on a television.
So you're not looking at the actual
looking at the actual product.
You're looking at the television.
So now
screen.
I see the one that says soda, water. So I walk up to the one that says water, and all of a sudden it changes.
Because you want water.
And it shows me a picture of all the different kinds. There's the Dasani. There's the Evian. There's the, you know, Ozark Spring.
Yeah.
And so then I open the door.
Right.
That used to be a glass door that you would look in and see this stuff.
And see what the heck is there.
And then I opened it, and it's nothing like they showed me on the television that they were projecting. None of the waters that they said that were there.
So wait a minute. Mm-hmm. So you're in the Walmart.
Walgreens.
Whatever it is. The Walgreens.
Important. I don't go to Walmart.
All right. So, and they got the projected stuff on the screen of what used to be clear glass that you could see through.
Right.
So they've got little images on there.
And saying, here's where Dasani's at. Here's where Evian's at. And you pull open the door.
And then there's more pictures.
Yeah. Then you pull open the door, and then there's the actual product. But it's not lined up in the same way the projector was. And I was like, what was wrong with the glass?
Right.
I used to be able to see through the glass and know, oh, there's all the waters. Oh, maybe I'll get this kind of water. Maybe I'll get that kind of water. Now they've turned it into a TV thing. And I've decided this is technology.
Trap. Yes.
That's unnecessary.
Yes.
Like some salesperson either sold them on some type of electronic gadget.
They have.
Or this is really wasn't well thought out, because what's better than glass if you're wanting to see what's behind a glass door?
Yeah. They have fallen into the gizmo trap, Michael.
Yes.
And
gizmos.
And it happens to all of us at times. I remember well the perfect pancake flipper.
Yeah, did you get that?
Well, so there was this infomercial. The kids were little. And this lady had the perfect pancake flipper.
Right.
Because you know how pancakes, you got the one side, it's all golden and and then you flip it over, and the other side's got little crusties on it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this lady on this commercial had this pancake flipper.
Mm-hmm.
They were perfect pancakes.
Yeah.
They came
nothing
out of this.
Sticks.
Unbelievable.
Right.
They golden brown on both sides of the pancake, smooth. And I said to the kids,
we're getting the perfect pancake maker.
It's only $19.99. Mm-hmm. And they're going to throw in the perfect waffle maker at the same time.
Unbelievable. Oh, see, now anytime there's an advertisement and they say this, but wait.
There's more. And there was.
Immediately do not purchase that item.
Well, I did.
But I'm just telling you, for future reference, anytime they say, but wait, or act now and you'll get two, don't ever buy that stuff.
Well, I did. And so, you know, here's this gal. She's got the perfect pancake maker there. And she's very attractive. And she's flipping this thing over, and, you know, it's like the old, you know, over the open fire there.
Yeah,
you know?
Chestnuts,
And I'll be darned if that
pancake. Did it work?
It was amazing. So it comes in the mail.
Uh-huh.
The kid, we're all excited. It's a Christmas present. You know,
right.
So Christmas.
For mom?
Yeah.
Oh, I bet she was thrilled.
So
we got her the perfect pancake
Christmas
maker.
Christmas morning. And
congratulations.
Waffle. And so she's opening it up there, and there it is. And then there it says right there on the label, perfect pancake maker.
Oh, John, you must have come up with this idea.
Said that was from the kids. And so I got her a vacuum. Anyway, so we saw it, you know, it's Christmas morning.
Right,
it's like 8 o'clock, 7:30 or whatever. So we make the pancake batter.
Uh-huh.
And we pour the pancake batter into the perfect pancake maker.
Yeah. It crumbles.
Crap went everywhere.
Yeah, it crumbles.
It was poured out of the side. I mean,
it didn't work.
No, not good. I mean, there was cake. There was pancake batter everywhere. So the gizmos. All of this is to say the gizmos don't.
You remember when electronic screwdrivers first came out?
Oh yeah,
they used to be huge.
You
know,
screw them this way, and you unscrew them that way. Yeah.
So we get that one for my dad 1 year for Christmas. Why I don't know. When we were, you know, he opens it, and so he and I decide, well, let's unscrew some stuff back in. We unscrewed the back door knob, couldn't put it back on. Had to get somebody to come back, the week after Christmas to come help us put the doorknob back on because we couldn't put it back on.
So, folks, all of this is to say be very careful as we're entering the Christmas shopping. Yeah, but wait.
If they say, but wait.
There's more.
Yeah. Don't buy that.
Yeah, and anything that costs $19.95 is probably not a good investment.
Mm-mm.
I think we've learned
Or your
that.
Money back.
Yeah, or you get your money back. I did not get my money back.
Well, you didn't mail it back.
I think we threw that thing away. Well, that's the end of the show, folks, as sad as it is. The Best of Glover is coming up next. I want to thank you for tuning in tonight, listening to John Hancock and Michael Kelly, late night on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.